Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Welcome to Early Call Time, everybody.
Early Call Time.
Yeah, everybody. Welcome to Early Call Time.
Hi.
Thank you for listening this week. Over here, we are with our guest, Danny Wilkinson.
We're just going to get right into it.
Yeah, why not? You know, it's just so that they know what they have up front.
Okay.
We're here with Danny Wilkinson, who's an associate producer on MTV's Ridiculousness.
Yep.
That's a big title.
Wow.
That's a ridiculous title.
How do you spell Ridiculousness?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, you don't have to.
It's a long word. You guys can Google it at home.
What does MTV stand for?
Oh, it's music television.
But the M used to stand for music.
Now it's
media.
Media. Yeah, multiple television networks. I don't know. There's like MTV2 now. There's
MTV2. That's where they actually still play music videos.
Yeah, they were like, we need a sequel.
Well, in Europe, MTV still plays music. Like they just play music videos all the time.
On MTV2?
I think they're called MTVE, like MTV
Wait,
Euro.
How many MTVs are there?
There's a lot of networks now. Minimum three.
It's MTVU, which is university. Yeah. There's two. There's a Latin one.
Oh.
What? Somebody's getting messages over there.
You hooked up your fucking messages, so tell your girlfriend to stop texting you, Andrew.
What other MTV channels are there? I don't know. There's a lot. Yeah. Anyway.
There's a lot.
I'm sure that Ridiculousness plays on all of them at some point.
It's definitely probably on right now in reruns.
Does Rob Deirdre know Spanish?
I do not know.
Okay.
It's the good thing is it's one of the most popular shows on MTV, so... We got more seasons coming.
Congratulations.
So, nice. Constant work. That's the good thing about this business is making sure you're always busy.
Absolutely.
Because we all know what hiatuses are all about.
And
it can be fun for a week or two until you...
Until
you have to start be like, wait.
Fun employment benefits.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what does Ridiculousness entail for the people out there that don't know?
Yeah, what is the show?
Yeah, it's basically... like America's Funniest Home Videos, but geared towards the MTV demographic, hosted by Rob Deirdre, who's a professional skateboarder. So clearly, teens kind of demo.
Who are the hosts on there? The hosts, like Chanel 90210?
Chanel West Coast.
That's it.
Yeah. Chanel West Coast, there's Stilo, and then Rob Deirdre, and then we always have usually a celebrity guest on, so that's always kind of
fun. Does Big ever come on?
I think he was on season one.
Did he used to live in your apartment complex?
He lived next door to me.
Really?
Oh my God, that's so cool.
At my place in Burbank, yeah.
That's funny.
He was super cool too.
Yeah, no, he's actually, everyone there is awesome. I love working there. That's the big thing about the business is making sure you're always working with cool people, and that makes the job amazing no matter what show you're on. It's just all about who you're working with. So
I interviewed for his show, the like Fantasy Factory, or is that what it was called or something?
Yeah.
And I went into the interview and the assistant that was interviewing me, she sat me down and she's like, "You don't want this job." And I was like, "Thank you for your time." So
did
I don't
get the
know
free coffee though on the way in or
I don't know. I
hot
was
chocolate,
terrified.
Maybe.
Yeah, I was like, there's no Swiss Miss here, I'm out.
Okay, so right now you're on Ridiculousness.
Yes.
But let's rewind. How did you get to Ridiculousness? So first step, you were born.
Yes, I was born.
I don't really remember my birth, but
there were pictures, I think.
Sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's proof that it
there happens. Is proof. I have a birth certificate. I'm a real person. I went to college at University of Oregon.
Oh, nice. Where is that?
It's up in Eugene.
I mean, I know it's in Oregon.
It's in Oregon. It's a state above California.
What's their mascot?
The Ducks, the Oregon Ducks.
Go Ducks.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Ducks are big.
We were in the Rose Bowl and won that game. And then there is some game after that. I don't remember what happened. Don't need to reminisce on that.
All right.
But, we didn't do so well against Ohio State. But went to school there, studied film, multimedia. And I guess I'm an example of someone that you don't have to go to USC or UCLA or – you know, like a film school in Los Angeles to actually get a job, you know, outside of.
Oh, that's encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it's always
none of us did it.
Yeah. What type of classes did you take there? Like, did any of those classes you feel like helped prepare you for a career, or was it just kind of like
To be honest,
theory?
No. None of it, like, none of it really has anything to do with like, other than just, you know, if you appreciate film, then you appreciate the classes and, you know, you understand, like, history of cinema and, like, mise titles. Yeah, all those, like, those terms that you even can use on set. People are like, what does that mean? I didn't go to film school. I just know technology really well, so that's why I'm here.
I just like that lens flare effect.
Yeah, but, you know, it's college is good for, you know, finding yourself, making sure that you actually do want to go into a career in this kind of, you know, this industry and, regardless if everything you learn works, you know, for you after college or not, then you're still, you know, growing as a person. That's what's most important. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciated college. I thought it was great, and I'm glad everything worked out. Because
pretty much it just like teaches you how to like drink and not die.
Yeah,
like how to drink responsibly. I think.
Well, it depends on the college, but yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't teach you how to do that well.
Yeah.
Did you? Are you? Where are you from originally?
I'm from San Diego.
So SoCal.
It was like USC or bust. I'm USC, I'm getting out of the state.
I bet you got some crazy Tijuana stories. Well,
no, my dad went to USC and I was like, okay, I want to go to USC or I want to, you know, leave the state. And it was just one of those things where it was super competitive that year. And I was like, you know, Oregon seemed like a cool place. They had a lot of stuff going on up there and decided to, you know, leave the state for a little bit.
That's Were cool. you able to actually make movies in college? Or yeah, that part of it.
I made lots of short films. Probably made about like 8 or 9.
Oh, nice!
That's crazy.
Had some film competitions up there that I was involved in.
Like a 24-hour film.
Yeah, it was 72-hour. Jeff Wadlow.
You guys are spoiled.
Yeah, we had a lot of so much time.
Easy.
We had Jeff Wadlow. He directed Kick-Ass 2 and Never Back Down. He was our mentor for those film competitions. So.
Oh, cool.
That was really cool networking with him and getting to know him. I've actually met up with him a couple times in LA. So
nice. It's
nice, you know, to have someone that established in the industry to still, you know, keep in touch with you, I guess. So.
It's nice because the film school I went to was a small one in Bozeman, Montana. And people are like, why would I want to, like, LA is where it's at. But you find if you're wanting to make short films, like, you can walk into a coffee shop and be like, can we shoot our movie here? And they're like, sure.
Yeah.
And it's, like, so much easier to do it because not everybody's trying.
That was definitely one thing that I thought was super easy and awesome up in Eugene because, you know, the film culture there, it's growing. They, you know, they do have film festivals up there, but you don't have to worry about permits as much as LA where everything, you know, costs so much money to get stuff done. So it's definitely, I do miss that. And, it was an amazing experience there. Glad everything worked out. So
were you able to network? Like did anyone that you went to school with also went into the industry and kind of like, oh, let's all make the move to LA together?
That's the thing. Going to school in Oregon is that you are far from LA and there's a lot of people that it's a huge risk for some people to, you know, make the move because it is, you know, financially risky and, you know, even trying to find a job in LA, it's tough.
Right.
I was fortunate to live in San Diego and, you know, after college and be able to commute if I needed to, like, go in for an interview and stuff.
Yeah.
Most of my friends in college actually moved back to Portland because they got a lot of shows up there that they're working on, like Leverage and Portlandia. And I think Real World Portland was going on up there at one moment that I had some friends working on. So they've got, like, a lot of stuff that they're doing in Portland. So it's not like it's, you know, you go to school at Oregon, study film, and then good luck. You know, there's options, like, in other cities to go to. And, that's where most of them went. So I kind of came down here only knowing one person. So, and that was, like, that was, like, my one way in. It's crazy, you know, how it worked out. So
what was your first gig out of college?
I worked on a true TV show called Clipaholics.
Okay.
Eric Wong.
Eric Wong.
Yeah, that's how I met.
Oh, nice. You know Eric.
Yeah, Eric Wong. Met him through that. Then that's how I met JJ and then Andrew and everyone else.
Funny enough, we were talking about birthdays earlier. Eric and Andrew share a birthday.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
It's not as cool as Harry Potter.
No, it's not Harry Potter's birthday.
Yeah, true. But you work on Clipaholics.
Yeah, I was working on that show. I was a researcher. It's a clip show. It's kind of like, you know, the America's Funniest Home Video kind of stuff. I just had to look for YouTube videos all day. I mean, you tell a person out of college, hey, we're going to pay you to look for YouTube videos. You're like, hell yeah, that sounds freaking awesome.
I do that already for free.
Yeah, I do that every day anyways. Now I'm going to get paid. It's cool for like a week and then you're like, this sucks.
Like, they don't even let me smoke weed on the job.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm like sober doing this. What's going on here?
So how does that getting someone, the whole process of finding a video and saying, okay, we want this on our show.
Mm-hmm.
How do you track that back to find the person?
That's a good question. Unbelievably good question.
I feel like I could work for like the FBI or something now. You're pretty much a private investigator. You have to do all kinds of like ways to find the person who actually filmed it if it comes down to that. Sometimes there's clip houses that own footage and you'll like be able to direct your way to these like companies that archive it. But let's say that you filmed the video and you had like
Nadav filmed a video.
Okay.
Oh geez. Okay.
And your like handle name, your YouTube name is like, you know, crazy, you know, like maybe like Laker fan 6734, something that you're like, okay, this guy, like, who is he? I need to figure out who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all kinds of routes on Googling the handle name, hoping that it connects you to other social media outlets. And then you can maybe backtrack on where they actually came from. Sometimes you're lucky where there's people that know the person directly that are commenting on the video that actually have a first and last name there where you can be like, okay, I'm going to contact that person.
Nice job, George.
I'll be like, hey, can you get me in touch with your friend that filmed this? It shows that you...
Yeah.
Your friend's nuts look a little like they need to be on the ice. Can I talk to him about this video he shot? Because clearly you know him. You've commented on the video. But I feel like with social media, it's gotten easier because YouTube does link up your Twitter, Instagram, sometimes Facebook, websites, whatever whatever it may be. So you can find people, but there are the, crappy situations where you get a video that's like 9 years old. It's the one video the person uploaded.
Yeah.
And they're not active anymore.
The only one.
And they're like, yeah, this is the number one clip on the show. We want this for like next week's episode. Let's get it. We have to figure out a way to get it. And you're like, okay, this
So like when that happens, is there like a sliding scale on how much money you're allowed to offer for the clip? Is it like, this is the number one clip, you could now offer this much instead of the normal like X amount? Does it work like that?
There's usually like a generic, it depends on the show, because some shows don't actually pay. Like Ridiculousness tries to avoid payments just because we have a lot of content that we choose from. So like, let's say that you're like, oh, I want my video on the show, or we contact you about your video, you're like, I want my video on the show, but you have to pay me this much money. We'll be like, well, we have another Nutshot video that we're going to get for free, so good luck. Right. And that's when they're like, okay, well, actually, I want, because like we're a popular show. It's something
Did you guys just like switch over to that model?
For when?
Because I have a confession to make. Did you? I have sold a video to Ridiculous.
Yes. I mean, yeah. We
Does Unicycle Fail ring a bell?
I think I remember that one. That's okay.
It wasn't me. It was like 3 or 4 years ago. I filmed it during my last year at UC Irvine.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they had this at Oregon or maybe they had more of these at Oregon. There were unicycle kids.
Mm-hmm.
There were like 2 or 3 unicycle kids. There were celebrities. There were local celebrities on campus.
Wow.
And like whenever you saw one, it was like seeing a unicorn. It was like, oh my gosh, there goes one now. And so for one of my film classes, it was like, make whatever you want for one of your projects.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to make a documentary on the unicycle kids. So I go to one of their practices. I'm filming them. And the guys are like all just trying to like show off for me. And one of them starts jumping from picnic table to picnic table. And then it just completely gives way. He eats shit, posts that on YouTube. And here's the craziest part. So the video still today has like 200 views.
Mm-hmm.
And of those yeah, that little. And of those 200 views, it seems like 1% were people trying to buy the video from it.
Yeah.
So like, how do you find all the nooks and crannies? Like, how do you find these videos that no one has seen?
Well, because when you upload footage on YouTube, you put a bunch of tags on there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like tag Nutshot, tag Faceplant, tag Unicycle. And
so you guys just search for Nutshots all day, huh?
Yeah, well, that was my job.
The fifth Nutshot.
That was my job at True TV. That's what I was doing. I was just like, you would just put in quotations like Nutshot, quotation, Unicycle, and then just hit enter, and then you look at all these Nutshot Unicycle videos all day. Yeah, it's crazy. But the thing that is challenging is when your executive producers are like imagining this like clip in their head that like, yeah, I want this video, like we'll use the Unicycle example. Like, one this guy has to be wearing like a blue shirt, like jump on the unicycle, face plant, and then knock over like four of his friends. And they're like, find that video. And we're like,
serious? Are they referencing a real video, or they're like, find something that's close to that?
Like, they have like themes of categories. So it could be like blue collared mishaps or something. So you have to find like something that's in that category. And like the EPs have, you know, these visions of maybe their dreams from the night before of these clips that somehow exist. And then you have to go out and find them. And you're like,
wow.
Yeah.
Like,
Jesus.
The fact that they're that specific of it has to be a blue shirt.
It's even crazier on Ridiculousness because we have guests.
Well, it's in the title, so.
Yeah, but it's, we'll get like a celebrity guest. And like we had the Jenner sisters, Kendall and the other girl. They were, I can't remember her name. The Jenners.
Sherry?
But,
they're that popular. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a category called sibling rivalries because you know they're two sisters,
right?
Sure.
And all the videos, and I'm with my job at Ridiculousness, I don't have to look for videos anymore. But the people that had to look for videos, they looked for a bunch of videos that involved siblings, you know, doing pranks on each other or whatever kind of stuff. Funny. So it's like you're working backwards there. You're like, this is the category. These are the celebrities that are going to be on the show. These are the categories. Now we have to fill the content, and then basically, you know, find videos that hopefully exist out there on the internet. So
now you say you don't search for YouTube videos anymore. What do you do now?
So associate producer is it's a generic position. Each department on Ridiculousness and even on most shows have like an AP or multiple APs to kind of help the producers, you know, get things done in in that area of the show. So we have the writers that basically request certain kind of footage. Then we have the people that find the footage. Then they go back to the writers and they're like, yeah, we like four of these seven videos. So maybe those four videos from that category will come out to my department. Like, let's make sure we can get these videos to air legally on the show.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So then I'll like basically.
So you're like a clearances kind of in a way.
We have so clearance is also a separate department too. They just handle the paperwork. So they're
nice. And you're not doing that stuff.
No, I'm just basically reaching out to the person, getting all the information, and then giving that to clearance, and they just take care of the rest of that. So it's kind of like a rapid fire. Like, you're just like, boom, 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 there you go, take over from there, and that's the end of that. So,
oh, that's great. You know. Well, see, in scripted television, an AP is basically kind of over-post.
Mm-hmm.
And I get, this is almost reality, right? I mean,
I'd say
not,
it's like,
non-scripted.
Yeah.
That's a better, better term for it. So it's interesting when people say, oh, I'm associate producer. I'm like, okay, well, what TV do you kind of do? You know?
Yeah. Because they're all, it's completely, you know, apples to oranges. I mean, it's the same name, but they're completely different, like on whatever project you're working on.
Sure.
Just because it's just a, you know, it's an umbrella position, I guess. You're kind of just there and you're helping out wherever and what department, which is, it's cool. You learn a lot.
What are the writers doing on? I mean,
they're writing.
They're called consulting producers because
they're
non-union. So we can't call them writers or else they have to get paid differently. So.
Oh, I see.
What are the consulting producers doing?
They watch all
the
videos.
They're doing lots of writing.
They literally screen footage all day long and then they stack the videos they like in like the episodes. So then when Rob views the rundown of all the clips that are going to be in that episode, he just kind of like approves them or, you know, kills or removes clips. So
they're kind of putting everything in order.
Yeah. They're kind of like creating the content. We got people finding content. They're like creating it. I'm like clearing it or like making sure we can get the content.
So maybe I could ask you some advice because I'm actually in the middle of another, not dispute, about another bout.
Oh, there you go.
Of someone trying to acquire my contact. That exact unicycle video.
Okay.
I'm not going to say the name of the company. Let's just call them M.O. So, M.O., and don't worry, that doesn't stand for the company.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out.
M.O. And I'm not going to say the way I coded it. So, M.O., they contacted me. Like, first they call me, and I'm like, how the hell did you get this number? Mm-hmm. Like, I just put it on YouTube, and they're like, well, we have researchers. Fair enough. They wanted to get exclusive rights for my video.
Is it Jukin Video?
The what?
Is it Jukin Video that contacted you? Or
Jukin?
Yeah, did they contact you? Or because they're exclusive.
It wasn't Jukin.
Oh.
It was Nope, not going to say it.
It was Mo.
And so this woman from Mo was like, hey, we want to get exclusive rights to your video. And I was like, no fucking way. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. I think actually Ridiculousness tried to get exclusive rights too. And I was like, well, for like the couple $100 that you're offering, like you could use it one time.
Yeah.
And, it didn't even take that much convincing. They were like, yeah, all right, fine. But with them, it's like, they really want my video,
mm-hmm.
but it took so little effort for me to get it. Yeah. And like, it's just nice for that. I own it where it's like for the $200 or $300 that they're offering me, I feel like they now own that video. So I was like, fuck that. I don't want to do that. You guys could use it for one single time use only.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, well, you know, actually like we're not the show. We're a company that just acquires all this YouTube content. Yeah. And we supply shows. And they were just trying to make it seem like I couldn't do this without them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in the industry and I know that I could.
Yeah, yeah.
So now they're just like trying to convince me to do a 50-50 deal where they get exclusive representation of it. And I can't like sell it to other shows without them.
Yeah.
So they're going to be your agent for.
Yeah, pretty much. For
those are, that's probably a Clip House. There's like Jukin Videos, I'd say the biggest one right now, because mm-hmm. they're actually producing shows. They like archive footage
mm-hmm.
exclusively. Like they have that Terry Crews show on Fox that just aired. All the footage there is Jukin Video. Okay. They own all the footage. They have exclusive rights. Anytime that it's used on the show, they cut, you know, a percentage to whoever owns the video, I guess, as part of their deal. But I sometimes deal with those people when I'm trying to find videos, and you'll go that route. It's super easy for us because it makes my job easier, and, you know, just plug and plug, and you're good to go. I don't have to hunt anyone down. Mm-hmm. There's pros and cons to it.
I've been a huge pain to these people, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no, that's
like
good.
They've sent me 3 contracts so far. I'm like, this isn't good enough.
I would never sign any footage exclusively.
That was exactly my mentality, too.
Just so you don't ever want to, like, lose your rights to your footage. Even though they are saying, like, hey, you know, we can get you on more shows. You're like, well, if my video is on Ridiculousness, all these other shows are going to see my video, and then they'll be able to, you know, backtrack where it came from, because all of the people in the clip world or even these kinds of shows everyone within that, you know?
This woman from Mo was like, hey, you know, we also represent like all these other like clips. Like there's this Russian dash cam video that gets like $3,000 per like usage. There's this other video that gets like $500 per usage. I'm like, this is a kid falling down off a unicycle. This is not going to get $3,000 per usage.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, like, I didn't talk to them for a while, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, they're hitting me up again, saying, like, hey, did you read that last contract we sent you? We're really interested in representing you. And so I think they're offering something, like, at this point, they're not even offering money, because mm-hmm. what they were doing is they were going to sell that clip to a show.
Yeah.
And then use that money to piggyback to get, like, the exclusive rights
from
the clip. And I don't like that they don't have any skin in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want you fuckers to pay something, you know?
Yeah, that's
Is that realistic?
Well, you wouldn't want to sign with a place like that because it's exclusive, and they're saying they can guarantee, which they have connections to get your video on, you know, other shows, but the percentage that you get in return is not worth it. Unless if you're just like the type of person where you're like, you're not active on promoting your video, you just want it out of your hands, you're like, let this person deal with it. Like, if they're going to get me some money, like, here and there, that's totally cool. There are people that are like, no, I want to make sure I can do this myself, get all the money if people are going to pay me for my video.
Because they're like, not trying to put this in, like, they just want to have this in their library, so if mm-hmm. anyone wants it, they have rights to it. They're not like, oh, there's, like, a million shows that we could totally put this in. Like, they're just trying to, like, make their library bigger.
Yeah. That's true, and also that, you know, they know people like us that they can get business.
Sell it to.
So like,
but I've already sold it to you, so it's like, there goes that, right?
Yeah, so Ridiculousness, you're done. Maybe they'll be on something on MTV2 or whatever that you can look forward to.
Do people ever contact your show and be like, hey, we'd love the video that you show, like from a different show, saying...
Because when you work on clip shows, and it's like a revolving door sometimes, you know, like maybe after one season, someone goes to a different show that's a clip show, and then you'll constantly... I'll do that with people that work on other shows, but hey, there's this video that we're looking for. Have you seen it on your show, or are you guys going after it also? And we'll kind of just communicate back and forth, you know, on the on the process or the progress of it, at least, just to see if, like, it's like double teaming it, just in case if, like, you know, we, one of us gets swamped, we're always kind of helping each other out because we've all worked together at some point. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, double teaming clips. So,
did you go from that True TV show to this Ridiculousness show?
Yeah, I was. Well, there was like a little bit of hiatus in between, or not in between, but when I was at Nash, I was working on like three shows. It was one like Clipaholics, Top 20 Funniest, some specials for like the most shocking stuff that you've probably seen on True TV.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was, yeah, Caught Red Handed was another one. That wasn't a clip show. That was like a, it was basically a loss prevention agent goes in the show to stores and exposes flaws. It was like actual like a reality kind of show, not a clip related show, which is cool to work on.
Sweet.
But after that ended, I went on like a 4-month hiatus, which was
not
fun.
Sweet.
Yeah. It was like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then once, you're doing like little gigs here and there, assisting people, doing PA runs, you know, for like four day gig randomly just to get some money. And then hoping that you're the nest that you're at, you know, True TV has a show that gets you back there again. And luckily they did. And I was promoted to associate producer with them. And then eventually after like 6 months working there, I got a job at Ridiculousness through a friend. So
this is going to blow your mind a little bit, Nadav.
My mind?
Your mind.
Right. Wow. That's supposed to be good.
You know where Nash Entertainment was, correct?
Where what?
Where Nash Entertainment was.
Oh, no.
It was at Sunset Gower.
Oh, okay.
And they were, remember the edit bays around us?
Yes.
That was True TV.
Yeah.
Those were the shows that he was working on.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Boom.
Yeah, like where we cut our film? Mm-hmm.
So we were next door. No, but you know what? That was my internship and I was still in college, so I don't think you were there at that point.
Okay.
Because I was in college. You left Oregon like what, 2010?
2011.
Yep. So I just missed each other, but that was the show. That's crazy.
Yeah, same show. Yeah.
When I moved down here in 2003, I stopped in Eugene and went to a Taco Bell there. So...
There's like again. Three.
Fuck off,
small
Andrew
world.
Might have been...
Contribute something.
That was my contribution. Yeah,
is it the KFC Taco Bell combo one?
No, man. It was just a straight up Taco Bell. Just a
thank you,
one stop shop.
Yeah.
Wow. For all of those people that are trying to get in the industry, just listen to Andrew's solid advice of Del Taco recommendations in Oregon.
Taco Bell. There was no.
I don't fucking care, man.
They have good breakfast now. Yeah, they have good breakfast.
They do. I was really like, did you turn my mic off?
look what you've done, man.
I like that. Thank you.
Now. JJ appreciated my.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Well, humorous.
Small world, man.
But so you're on Ridiculous now.
Yeah.
Ridiculousness. There sorry. Is. MTV's Ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Do you have any future plans from this show? I mean, if it's going to hurt your chances of keeping your employment, you don't have to say anything. But do you have goals that you want to do? Do you want to be actual showrunner? Do you want to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is it's cool when you're working on, you know, shows with tons of people. Everyone's up to something on the side, you know, personal life stuff. So you're constantly talking creatively when you're not, you know, working on the show you're being paid to work on. You're just kind of like in the kitchen. You're like, oh, I'm doing this. This is what's going on, you know?
Right.
So there's constant collaborations. I know that's how, you know, free time we met up because Eric Wong brought me over to work on your guys' short films. And I mean, you start to kind of just spitball people and team up. I know eventually I would say something more artistic, creative would be the direction I want to go into. Cause I like to draw. I like to write a little bit, create things.
So not necessarily TV.
I would say probably
maybe not unscripted TV.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's definitely in the entertainment world, but it doesn't have to be television or it could be, you know, maybe like little animation sketches or something, but
that'd be cool.
Something, you know, just creative. I think that's the direction I want to go into eventually. And I got tons of resources at Ridiculousness to kind of, you know, network with and further yourself. And
you know, I actually had an animation idea for something.
Yeah,
we'll talk after this.
All right.
Do you have before we get into the game? Do you have any advice for someone that's in your position or wants to get into your position? Mm-hmm. Like, what did you do to get to where you are? And-
uh, yeah, persistence. I was constantly, even getting my first job in the industry, my one connection, I was, you know, I was hitting her up maybe 6 months before I graduated, just being like, hey, how's it going? You know, what are you up to? Just kind of just seeing like where they're at in the entertainment industry.
Sure.
Letting them know where I am, just so they, you know, just gotta be persistent, keep yourself fresh in everyone's mind. Just because it's a crazy industry. There's like a job will pop up one day and if you're fresh in their mind, they'll think of you and they'll get you, you know, an interview at least. So you just gotta be persistent, contact people all the time.
Even if it feels annoying or unnatural.
I was going to say there's a fine line between being annoying and being...
Well, I mean, the place that I'm working at now, like, I literally sent an email to my current boss once every month.
Yeah.
Like, for 4 or 5 months in a row. And on the fifth month, he was like, you know, an AE just quit. Like, why don't you come in for another interview?
Yeah.
And now I work there.
It's like going on dates. You know, like, when you get someone's number, you don't want to text them right away. You got to kind of give some breathing room.
Right.
Like, oh, three days, man.
Don't want to get that persistent on, you know, hitting up your contacts all the time. You got to give some gaps in between.
Have like a rotation, you know?
Yeah.
Like this is group A, group B. Yeah. Like every month, you just email a different group.
Yeah, you just go through the line, you know, like text them or email them maybe Monday. Wait, like, you know, if you don't hear back from them, maybe wait like a week and a half before you just follow up and be like, I'm doing this now, or, you know, what are you up to? Maybe we can grab some coffee.
You still with your husband?
Yeah. I'm single. Let's be single together.
We could, you know, I saw you on OkCupid. We could just middleman.
I've told people in the past, and this is what I do, is I set Google reminders.
Okay.
To email certain people, and then, you know, it keeps it fresh without you having to always think about, oh, I need to contact that person. I need to contact that person.
Yeah.
Let Google do it. And then you know, eventually Google explode and whatever. But that's good advice.
Yeah, persistence is number one. It's all about how you kind of communicate with them. You don't want to just, you know, email, hey, I need a job, give me work now.
You need to be nice. You need to mask it under of like, hey, how are you doing?
Talk about them. Ask them about them.
Still into barbecuing?
Yeah. So
try any new dry rubs lately?
That's
a barbecue thing.
Yeah,
thing.
I know.
Okay. So that's solid advice.
Yeah, it's definitely number one.
I just
got the best thing.
Let's transition into the horror story segment.
Ooh.
Which sounds something like this.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid.
The f are you doing?
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
So this is called Horror Stories.
I have to say,
yes,
those intros are so amazing.
That intro is my favorite one, I think.
I love them.
Yep, I put them all together because I have a very wide bank of sound bites that are like, oh, you can use that for here. So this is Horror Stories, where you describe a gigantic fuck up. You don't have to say any names. You don't have to say the name of the show that you were on or that you worked on. You don't even need to be the reason for the fuck up.
Okay.
But what is some gigantic fuck up that you've witnessed? And also, you don't have to limit it to one. We could go over every fuck up that you witnessed.
Horror story.
I'm trying to think of a mess up. I know that there's probably one of the most frustrating things that I can remember working at Nash. And there's lots of people that can kind of, you know, that I've worked with agree on this, is that when you're researching for footage, you know, there's certain categories they want to fill up. And one category that our producer or executive producer wanted to have filled up was a redneck category. So she wanted a bunch of redneck videos for a network reel that was going to go out on Monday. And it was Friday. It was like maybe 5 o'clock PM, you know, we get off at like 7.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes in, she's like, yeah, we want this redneck category. We have no clips in this category. We want to have the network see it on Monday. And I'm like, great, this is going to involve me and like a few other people working late tonight, Saturday and Sunday, trying to find enough content to fill this category.
Mm-hmm.
This is like terrible, you know, you value your free time. You want to at least enjoy life, you know, while you're not working.
And when you're putting this reel together, do you already need to have like all that permission and paperwork in place?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're just
so it's
like,
at least a little easier.
These are just like something we're just going to show the network. They're going to be like, yeah, we like this batch of content.
Got it.
Get as much as you can. Because we'll over research. Like, you only need like 3 or 4 videos, but we had to get like 10 to 12 videos
right,
to show delivery. The network.
Sure.
And they'll just be like, oh, this is too graphic. This is not good enough. This is perfect, you know, whatever. So we got like maybe four people that are working late that night, Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a really tough category to fill because like all the good redneck videos have been used on other shows for our, you know, our television show.
Right. How so do you know if they've been used? Do you just
we have a system that you there's like a it's a pilotware.
Okay.
It's just it's a system that basically we
like a content match.
Yeah. Type yeah. Gotcha. FileMaker Pro is the.
Oh, yeah. All right.
But, yeah. But, I'm familiar. Yeah, it's like it's that exact program that we're able to like kind of put links in there, tags to make sure that we can backtrack if the video has been used or not.
Sure.
So yeah, we're just spending all these you know these grueling hours trying to fill this category, and then Monday rolls around and the producer's like, yeah, we're not going to use the redneck category anymore. So so yeah, that's that.
So you guys just wasted your fucking weekend.
We worked late Friday, worked Saturday and Sunday. I think it was like 4 hours on Saturday and I think a couple more hours than that on Sunday.
Ugh.
And it was all for nothing. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me right now.
Well, that's more of a fuck over.
Yeah, it was, than a yeah, fuck yeah. Up. I'm trying to think of like any like super like crazy things that have gone down. I mean, I would just say there's more frustrations than mess ups.
Okay,
just right. Because it's kind of hard to like mess up because you're not really filming these YouTube videos. They're already just filmed. You're just kind of like it. Just like there's a lot of indecisiveness. On these kinds of shows, there's people who are like, yeah, I'm filling this category now. And then the next day, like, no, I'm not really filling it anymore. I'm kind of going to go this direction. And and all the work that goes into like doing all that work for an idea that someone had goes, you know, completely in a different direction the next day. And you're like, yeah.
You're like, can't you just set this shit in stone? So
yeah.
Can't
yeah. It's like, yeah. That's what I wish happened. And it doesn't. That's just, you know, the beast of the working on these kinds of shows.
Yeah.
It's frustrations, but you know, you get through it.
Yeah.
What are you looking for? Because when I feel like rednecks doing dumb things, like I feel like there's 10,000 videos.
Yeah, it's just
of
like it's purely based on like stereotypes of like what you would think of like a redneck video would look like. You know, someone with a pickup truck. You know, maybe a trucker hat on.
Yeah.
You know, just totally in the backwoods. It's got to be because there's tons of videos that we come across. Like, this is perfect. It takes place in Alabama. It says on the description, Alabama. It's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a
rebel
flag.
But it looks like it's, you know, somewhere in LA. Maybe it's in like a shopping center. Like, oh, this is not red. This isn't Reed Redneck.
Right.
So okay. Then that's when they're like, okay, you can't use that video, even though it does kind of take place in that region.
It doesn't look it.
It could be like something that takes place in San Diego as long as it looks like a redneck video.
Like out in the boonies and.
Exactly. Like and you have stuff. To kind of find.
Oh, you know what? Stuff. So you got you did a full weekend of redneck searching. Let me know if you saw this video. So there's a redneck girl, and she's trying to prank her boyfriend, and she tries to make it seem like she's throwing a bloody tampon on him, but instead dips like a piece of chicken in some ketchup and just throws it on him. And
I might have seen that.
The sounds that this guy makes is like, oh, baby, oh. Oh, babe, why'd you do this to me? Oh, baby. Are you serious, babe? Like, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I think I might have seen it. There's certain videos, like, I'm pretty desensitized to, like, the most disgusting videos now because I've seen, you see, like, one nut shot, you've seen them all. You've seen, like,
right.
I've seen broken arm videos. I've seen compound fractures, everything, you name it. God. Like, yeah, there's...
Are you guys gonna be filling up a beheading section too?
there's lots of. The sad thing is, you know, there's a video that you'll get, and you're like, okay, this is like a really brutal. This person like flew like 30 feet in the air and like landed on his face, like, and then you're like, you know,
do you try to make sure that they're still alive?
Yeah, you'll have the consulting producers and like everyone's like, we love this video, like, let's see what we can do, and then. You know, it falls in my lap, and I'm like, all right, this is, like, really brutal. Let me do some research on this. Contact the people. Like, yeah, the guy passed away or something, and then we can't use that at all because
we
don't want... So you have to contact the family or something?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, you got to respect the dead, too.
Hey, I'm calling from a clip show. Your video's funny, and they're like, yeah, well, the guy died in it.
Yeah, that is the thing that sucks about working in that position, having to kind of... bring back to light
the reality of it.
Yeah,
that's
a horror story.
That's very rare that happens, but it does happen. and it sucks when you have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Well, so, somebody's at fault for putting that on the internet, though, too.
Yeah, well, things get reposted all the time. So yeah, it's like, true. Then you have to, like, backtrack to where it came from, and the person's like, you know, maybe it's like your video where you had like maybe 100 views on the original video, but someone else saw it and reposted and reposted and reposted. And then you have to backtrack and they're like, yeah, I didn't want this.
More views than me.
Yeah. Like, I didn't want this to blow up, but yeah, this is where it came from. So
this was a pretty decent horror story segment.
Okay.
I was going to say, why don't we propose to the people that are actually listening that maybe are in the industry.
Oh,
that,
that's a great idea.
That they could, you know, send letters to us or voicemails with their horror stories, and maybe we could have a full episode of just horror stories.
Oh my God, yeah. Hey, early call timers, if you have a horror story, you can email us at earlycalltime@gmail.com, or you could call us at
267-225-CHAT.
2428.
Yeah. I can't say that I came up with this idea myself.
Oh.
One of our past guests actually came up to me and said, you should do that. That would be really funny.
Oh, who could we attribute that to?
Eric Brown.
Family Guy editor.
Yeah.
Great guy, Eric.
Yeah. Eric Brown.
So, yeah.
Great idea. I just wanted to talk. All right, early call timers, it's on you now. Gauntlet has been passed. Yes. And has been thrown
out. Let's make a full episode of horror stories. I think that would be so much fun.
I'm so down with that.
It's too bad Halloween's not like next week. It'd be perfect.
By the time we get enough stories, it might be.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, our clip shows take forever.
Pretty small fan base right now. Interaction is.
Yeah, see, we tied that all together.
Nicely done.
Clip shows. Anyway.
Should we?
Do you have something else for us, Adam?
Yeah, I think we're going to segue. Something? We're going to segue into another game. Into a game right now. This game is called.
It's been a while.
Well, actually, it's not going to be sound bites from Nadav's childhood. This is going to be red light, green light franchise. So
this is a discussion-based game.
Mm-hmm. So imagine I am the like studio moderator.
Yeah.
And you three are a team of executives.
Okay.
For some reason, the studio head is pitching to his underlings. I don't know why. It's a weird studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after I pitch all three pitches, you three are going to decide which one gets the red light, which one gets the green light, and which one you decide to blow up into a franchise.
Okay.
And then
you guys never can win, by the way. I'm just...
What?
You guys have gotten high grades before.
High grades, but we've never won.
You get grades. Okay. So I grade you based on how convincing your arguments are, because I don't necessarily need to... Well, I do need to agree with you, but like I don't have like these like predetermined, like, oh, well, this one's the like right decision to franchise. This one's the wrong decision.
Yeah.
No, you guys just need to make convincing arguments.
Are you talking
arguments.
Like a Batman franchise, for example? Like that you're
exactly. Yeah, like I'm going to pitch like a superhero movie, a monster movie, and like a period piece. You guys will decide which one to red light, which one to green light, which one to franchise.
Okay.
And you can think about things like, oh, the merchandising possibilities are massive.
Exactly. You could add stuff to anything you want. Like, oh, well, you know, if this person's directing, that'll definitely blow it up. Or, you know, let's change this part of the plot. Yeah. You know, literally, you could do anything you want in order to change it to make something to fit
the
category. It'll never be Cheers the Musical, though.
No.
Cheers the animated movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what we had on a past one.
Well, they made like Spider-Man the musical. Remember the
Broadway house? That was a disaster.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It's still running, or did it close?
I don't know. I know South Park made fun of it.
I think they lost $1 jillion.
Yeah.
Julie Taymor directed that.
Okay, guys. Red light, green light.
Do you know who
franchise.
That is?
No.
Should I let you continue?
No, I'm done.
No, go
Thank
for
you.
It.
Okay.
The Taco Bell. Though.
So sounds good. Right now.
This first pitch is the first time I got a pitch from not Reddit or that I've written.
Okay.
I've
all right.
I got this, and I don't know if this was a mistake. I got this off of 4chan.
Oh wow!
Which is a very scary place.
Yeah.
I was in there for just a second just to get this, and then I quickly got out of there. But it's a great concept. So this one is called Predator versus Mr. Bean.
Oh my God.
Franchise,
and
moving on.
Hold on, this is the pitch. Jesus. This is the pitch. The Predator becomes more and more exasperated, and Mr. Bean does not even know he's being hunted the whole time.
That's it?
Yep, that's the whole pitch.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah. Sorry. The Predator becomes more and more exasperated, and Mr. Bean does not even know he is being hunted the whole time.
Are we talking Predator, like Predator versus Alien
like,
Predator?
Like, so it would be a comedy.
From the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I guess.
Okay.
Comedy slash thriller?
There's definitely a positive there. You got the international
market. Wait. Hold on. Don't discuss it yet because you got to hear two more pitches.
Okay. Wait, is there a username for that?
4chan. I didn't stick long enough
just to see who wrote it. Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's just call him Anon526. Okay. Okay, actually, all these pitches are pretty good today. This next one I got off Reddit by a user that goes by the name Tasty Spider Ham. Tasty Spider Ham.
We should tell them that we're
ham, like
using their
ham for dinner.
This pitch is called Walkin' in the Air. Walkin' spelled W-A-L-K-E-N.
Oh,
yes.
Very nice.
Okay, so...
Star power.
After retiring from acting, Christopher Walken struggles to adjust to his new life. That is until he meets Cindy, a trailer park mum. I guess this person's British.
Yeah.
They strike up an unlikely friendship that leads to Walken's emotional resurrection. I like that they say it, resurrection.
Or
an emotionally uplifting dark comedy. So imagine like St. Vincent, but with Christopher Walken.
All right. I can dig that.
You guys saw that movie. So that's
making girl soup over here.
Yeah.
Walking in the air.
Inside joke.
This next one.
I told it on the show.
Did you?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
We'll tell it here in a second.
All right. Next one was submitted by Shadows X Fall. Shadows X Fall. And the pitch is called World War II Women Workers Movie. And this is the description.
This is a tough week.
I was recently watching a documentary. This isn't really in pitch format. I was recently watching a documentary about women factory workers in World War II. I think that some of this material could be very good. Could be a very good comedy drama documenting the lives of women in a select factory during this time period.
Okay.
So we have Predator versus Mr. Bean.
Mm-hmm. Sounds awesome.
St. Vincent starring Christopher Walken and World War II women workers movie.
Man, this is really
tough. Think I know which way I would go, even though I don't like it, but it's like shitty versus shitty.
Yeah.
I thought these were good this week.
Oh, no, they're good. It's just... I'm
they're good.
Which one do you franchise?
I mean...
Oh, Predators, that's easy.
Predator's already franchised.
Is it?
Isn't it? Right? They made like four movies, and Mr. Bean's already franchised. So you
four that you know of.
Yeah.
There's way more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mr. Bean's got a following, Predator's got a following. You got the international market there.
But the story.
The story.
I know, but I feel like that's.
Was Alien vs. Predator a comedy? Wasn't Alien vs. Predator a comedy, though? Was think it could be a comedy, right? That was
actually
a terrible movie.
Yeah. I watched it without sound, so it was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's like watching Human Centipede without subtitles. Which I did, which was good.
Oh, God.
It turns out it's a lot better that way.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, and then if that's the case, if that's franchised.
That's where I'm leaning, yeah.
Okay.
You guys are franchising the Predator one?
Yeah.
It seems like that's money-wise. You got, you know.
You can have.
The high budget creature thingy with the action, and then you got the comedy with Mr. Bean.
An old classic monster in the house.
Yeah, it's like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
You sell it like that. You can sell little Mr. Bean dolls with his guts ripped out, you know, for the horror genre people, you know.
Is there like a Mr. Bean fuck up music? Like all sorts of music?
Oh, I'm sure.
I think the whole soundtrack to Mr. Bean movie.
It's like Benny Hill. By the way, I had a dream last night that Jack Black was on stage playing the Benny Hill theme song for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why. Yeah.
I missed that ringtone on your phone.
But Jack Black is playing it on the guitar for some reason. Anyway.
Or just acapella-ing it. That'd be tight.
Ooh, yeah.
But, I think that's the way to go. Franchise that.
Okay.
Make some dollar bills with that.
I think the name itself, you know, it's going to get people interested regardless, you know, if it's a good movie or not. You got Predator versus Mr. Bean. You're like, I got to see what's going to happen in this movie. Like, what happens?
Predator v. Bean.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my God.
You don't even need to hear the description because the log line is the name of the movie.
Yeah,
literally, yeah, exactly.
All right.
Okay, so that one's franchised.
What's the second one that you read?
The Christopher Walken.
The Christopher Walken. I think that one... Wait, what was the third one? Sorry.
It was the World
War II. Women's
I think that one is a story that hasn't really been told before.
World War II?
Yeah.
I agree. It's too bad. I think that the Christopher Walken one, I know this isn't really an option. I think that'd make a great TV series.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That would be very nice.
I would watch that on like FX or something.
Yeah, it has but as a feature film, I would. I don't no. think. I think that's the correct.
Yeah, I would. 100% green light the Worker World War II one because yeah. I think you know movies recently there's been a lot more woman power, girl power kind of movies, and that's just totally is going to sell.
Yeah,
definitely. Like, hardcore. I mean, I would watch it.
People yeah. like period pieces.
Yeah.
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 Because it's yeah, about it's women.
Just, it's just
hey-o. Yeah, I think that, would you say that's our final decision?
I'm happy with that.
Yeah?
And if a TV deal comes along for the Christopher Walken thing, I'm on board to produce that.
Okay.
But
perfect.
It's okay. not a movie.
So we should tell the Walken story.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Do you want to weigh in on your decision first, or should I...
Yeah, let's do the decisions first.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so let me summarize real quick. You guys are franchising Predator versus Mr. Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You guys
unbelievably.
Yeah, you guys are green lighting World War II Women Factory.
Mm-hmm. Woman Factory.
Now that's a franchise.
Making women. Yes.
Factory women. And then you guys are...
Red
lighting walk-in.
Yep.
A sentence no one's ever said.
Putting a TV pilot script yep. on the table.
Yeah, maybe a yes. Christmas special or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, like a made-for-TV
yeah. movie. Yeah, like he's, like Hallmark. It's, like a Scrooge, yeah, like a Scrooge kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scrooge kind of thing with walk-in.
Yep,
walk-in. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's yeah. a whole new, okay. All right. you know what? I'm going to agree with you guys.
What?
And
finally.
I'm going to say A... plus.
Wow. Oh, wow, we won.
But 97 is also an A plus, I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I can handle
how
that.
Do you I don't know how to win this game.
No. Well, 100 room for improvement.
Yeah, all right. All right. All right, that's good. That's good.
All right, so yeah, you guys did a pretty good job.
Before we leave today, we should tell the walk-in story.
So I had a friend who was doing swing like grip and electric work on a Christopher Walken movie. And at the end of the day, Christopher Walken said, "You guys should come over to my house." I can't do a Walken impression, so I'm not going to even attempt it.
Maybe I stab your face with a soldering iron.
That's exactly what he said. That's the end of the story.
Yep.
No, he said,
"Come over to my house.
Come over to my house. We're having
a party. People over.
We're having some. I'm not even going to try. We're having a party, and my buddy's like, should I bring anything?" He's like, "Bring whatever you want. Bring some tomato bisque.
Bring some tomato bisque.
Bring some tomato bisque.
Tomato bisque.
Tomato bisque." He's like, "Okay." And so he goes over to Christopher Walken's house, and he walks in, and there's like a, you know, the grocery store like display of cans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got that going on, like the pyramid of tomato bisque cans. You know, sitting in the entryway. He's like, okay, "This is weird." So he's walking around the party. He's like, "Where's Christopher Walken?" They're like, "Oh, he's up." Apparently, you have to call him by his full name. So, where is he? Well, he's upstairs. So they go upstairs, and Christopher Walken is sitting in a big jacuzzi tub with women in bikinis, and it is filled to the brim with tomato bisque.
Oh!
And he goes, "We're making girl soup."
Oh my God.
"We're making girl soup over here."
That's hilarious. And more than one person has told that story.
Yes,
so.
Like three different people have been like, "That's exactly what happened that night."
Oh my God. Yeah.
How recently did this happen?
A couple years ago. 5 or 6 years ago, maybe.
That's very recent, I feel like. I feel like that's something young Christopher Walken would pull off.
No, because my buddy's not, he's like a year older than I am.
Yeah.
When he was doing this movie.
Do you guys know why Do you know why Christopher Walken talks like that?
I don't.
No.
You know why Christopher Walken be talking like that? Because that's how he memorized lines. He would memorize it in chunks. So he would memorize the first part of the sentence, and then the second part would be like, "I went to the church." And like, so that explains that pattern. Yeah, I forget where I heard that.
Makes sense.
Cool. Maybe Wikipedia.
Well, Danny, thank you for being on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was interesting to hear about the clip shows and what Nadav should do.
Yeah, I got really good advice. Thanks, Danny.
Non-exclusive.
Non-exclusive.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, listeners out there, send in your horror stories.
Yeah.
Send in letters that you guys might have to us.
Earlycalltime@gmail.com.
Yeah, and I think we're going to read a letter now, aren't we?
We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Hey, early call-timers.
We have a letter from an early call-timer, Jared from Fredericktown, Ohio. And I'm going to bring this a little closer to my face so I could read it, because...
Are you getting old?
You need glasses, buddy.
I'm not blind.
You just needed it 50 font.
I just need to, like,
I can read it from here.
Yeah? Okay, so read it.
Joking.
That's what I fucking thought, dude.
I don't have my glasses.
Yeah, that's right, you don't. Okay, here it is. This is what Jared has to say, you piece of shit. Okay.
Not Jared.
No,
JJ.
No, Jared's not a piece. Yeah, JJ's a piece of shit. Okay. Okay, so this is what Jared says. Hey, guys, I just wanted to tell you that you guys are awesome. I just graduated from college and have been working freelance editing and motion graphics for the past 4 years in Ohio. I'm moving to LA in the very near future, and your post-production focused podcasts have been an incredible resource for advice when forging my own career path. I swear to God, he wrote all of that, guys. It's really interesting to hear how different realms of entertainment have their own unique character to them and how production works in LA. I would love to hear from a more diverse range of guests in the post-production world on your show, like effects artists, big league DITs, and motionographers. I don't know if I'm saying that right. My one question for you is, what is the first place I need to go see, eat, visit when I first get to LA? Keep it up, Jared.
First off, Jared, thank you for sending that.
Thank you.
It's very uplifting for us.
Yeah, because the fact that we don't know you is pretty awesome that you're actually sending us an email and saying good things about us because, well...
We're doing it for you.
Yeah, we're doing
it for you. It's cool that our target demographic is actually listening, which is nice.
It's weird.
First off, motion graphics in Ohio for 4 years, how do you survive?
Well, is there rent being $250 a month, I'm sure... That probably hurts.
Right.
Yeah, but what is there? Like one, somebody in a garage in Cleveland is like, I need some motion. Like,
let's not overanalyze Jared's life.
It would be lovely if Jared would send us a voicemail and saying what he actually does or something.
Yeah.
But, which we could play on the show.
I
want to
see his reel, his resume.
Yeah.
What's the scene like in Ohio? Let's try and get you some work out here in LA, dude. Who knows?
I mean, he's coming out here. So. I mean,
you've been working for 4 years. You probably have some experience.
Yeah. But to see here in L.A.,
places to check out.
Yeah, if you like movies and film and whatnot.
I have a couple favorite places.
The Arclight is a great place. So is the New Beverly.
Yes. Oh, New Bev. Okay, so the cool thing about the New Bev is they do double features. That's Tarantino's theater.
Yep.
We had a
past guest that worked at
that
the
used to
New
work
Beverly.
There, right? Yep. I've seen, like, they played both Godfathers there one time. They played like a couple of the American Pie movies and then had a Q&A with like beautiful Tara Reid and
Jason Biggs. Tweeted about that.
So that's a really cool place. Also, if you guys want a really cool dining experience, like there's in Marina Del Rey, AMC has a dine-in theater.
Yes, they do.
Where they have like a theater full of lazy boys and they have waiters come by and get you like good beer, good food. And here's the kicker, guys. The food costs normal.
Oh, it's not
like the chicken tenders, I swear, are cheaper than the fucking big popcorn. I swear. But the big popcorn does come in like a big old ceramic bowl, which is fancy.
Well, that is fancy. That sounds like a good time.
So that's a good theater. The Lemley's a good theater. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for just cool comedy entertainment, Upright Citizens Brigade has two theaters in like Hollywood area, East Hollywood.
Yeah.
Meltdown Comics has a whole bunch of sweet shows that they have in the back of their comic book shop.
And if you're into comics, you can go there.
Yeah, you could also get comics there, which is really sweet. Like, they have all sorts of events there. Follow them on Twitter.
Yeah.
They do all sorts of podcasts out the back there, too. I think Dan Harmon does his podcast out of there.
Hmm.
Well, the Nerdist.
Nerdist as well.
They're pretty huge. Chris Hardwick is a big proprietor of Meltdown Comics. Yeah.
They have a lot of shows there. So
A lot of great shows.
Yeah.
For cheap.
Yeah, like $5 or less.
Like $5 to see big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to know like the lay of the land in LA, like where you should move to, I guess that'd be a good thing to cover too.
Yeah.
Culver City is where like Sony Pictures is and a couple different post houses and
if you're wanting to not spend a lot of money, you can move to the Valley. Right. A lot of people are like, "Oh, it's the Valley."
But which Valley? Because there are two valleys apparently. San Fernando Valley and then the real Valley.
Oh, really?
What's the real Valley?
Where, like this, where we are.
Oh, in Tarzana.
Oh, okay, well.
Like Tarzana, Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys.
Yeah, well, I mean, we live in Encino area.
Reseda, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a, it's a cheaper place. It's nice. It's very nice.
Is it cheaper than Burbank?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Totally. I was gonna buy
my car insurance and my health insurance went up when I moved here.
Yeah.
Huh. That's crazy. Yeah. I always thought this was like a better neighborhood than Burn Dank, California.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it is, but
the thing is, when you look at a map of LA and you're like, oh, like I've heard Pasadena is nice and everybody loves Malibu. If you can afford Malibu for some reason, it's not close to anything.
No. Hmm. North Hollywood is a good place to live when you're first moving here. Valley Village area.
Yeah, it's really close to all the lots.
It's reasonably priced. It's close to the freeways.
Yep. That's big.
Highways or freeways, depending. Highways if you're from Ohio.
Freeways if you're a local LA.
See?
Angelina.
The five.
The food-wise, there's so many places. In-N-Out.
Got to hit up In-N-Out.
In-N-Out. Learn how to eat sushi if you're from the Midwest.
Oh, yeah. Story. All you can eat sushi, get really stoned beforehand, and they will fear you.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, are we going to lose the money today?
There's,
oh, my God. Keep it at bay, Andrew.
Pink's Hot Dogs is like people say, oh, go to Pink's.
You know, I've never been there. The line's always way too fucking long.
Yeah, it's not...
You'll throw up after.
You like hot dogs?
Go to Worst Coochie in downtown.
Where's that?
Worst Coochie. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it literally looks like Worst Coochie. That's what it sounds like.
All right.
But they have a wide variety of sausages. Like they have rattlesnake sausage, rabbit sausage.
Wow, that
amazing French fries and a huge beer selection.
Fuck. You read my mind. We need to get an animal reservation. Yeah, by the way.
Yeah, we've both hit milestones in our career.
You know, we should if Jared comes out.
Yeah, Jared. Hey, come to Animal with us. Me and JJ.
Yeah,
Andrew doesn't eat a lot, so he might not come.
No. Animal, you've been to Animal. You like it, right?
Yeah, it's different.
I'll have the toast, definitely different. Liver on toast.
Yeah. Oh, chicken liver toast, man.
Really, I'm trying to make it seem like it's gross, but it's really good.
We got two orders of it. It was the jam, and it actually had jam on it too.
What other crazy things or fun things to do in LA if you're, I don't know how old you are, but Silver Lake is a good place to like have a lot of fun for cheap, like a lot of karaoke bars.
Yeah.
A lot of hipsters. Yeah. That's like the hipster
Astro
part
Burgers over there.
Astro Burgers. Good. Yeah. Fred 62's. That's
good places to see music too. Yeah. In Silver Lake.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of little venues.
Place, the formerly known as Spaceland. What was that place called?
Yeah. I forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's there.
There's a lot of places to see, a lot of places to go, a lot of things to see, a lot of
depends
things
what you
to
like.
Eat.
If but, you like hiking, you can go to like Runyon.
Yeah, there's
Griffith.
There's a thing for everybody.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff to do here.
Bring a car.
Koreatown is a completely different country.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's like they have an entire ecosystem that works
Korean barbecue
independently. Oh, Korean barbecue is shit. We should go there too.
Have you guys ever had macaroni and cheese?
I'm really hungry right
so
now.
So good.
I am too.
Jared, I hope that answers your questions. I hope to see you.
We do have some of the guests that you're looking for. We do have them coming up. So
the VizFX people.
We've got some VizFX people coming in.
We have some VFX people on the schedule.
As many post people, they work a lot as well. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes hard to wrangle them.
And they work in caves, so you got to dig really deep to try and find them. You got to shake them loose.
But there are a few people in the works that we're trying to have on. Some pretty big name VizFX people. So.
Yeah.
And and for any other early call timers out there who have questions or concerns or thoughts or comments, feel free to write us at earlycalltime@gmail.com. You could call us at
267-225-CHAT. You could also follow us on Twitter.
Like us on Facebook.
And
we have, I think, 3 photos on Instagram, so that's really blowing up.
Yeah, you know, so there we go. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys later.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.